We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oklahoma City Thunder select Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
What a pass. Giddy underneath for JRE. The reverse and the rookie-to-rookie action. SGA defended closely by Westbrook. Tough step back. Gets up the shot. Banks it in.
This is Udort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast. Coming to you live Sunday, November 27th, year of our Lord, 2022. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. It's the two-man game tonight, a little pick-and-roll action. Got my guy Nick Crane with me.
If we were a two-man game, who's the guard, who's the screener?
I was about to ask, who's pick-and-rolling and who's the ball handler?
Well, I don't pass, so I probably have the ball in my hands, and I'm probably not passing on the
So you're just coming off the screen and firing it.
Yes, you're more of a pick-and-pop guy, though.
Yeah. I play a little. I'll do a little bit of everything.
Dang.
Little jack of all trades kind of guy.
Three level score, huh?
Three level score. I'll do what's needed. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and DailyThunder.com. If you haven't already, go follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Drop that sub on the YouTube channel. That would be great. I would appreciate it. Also, shout out to everybody that is in the live stream with us tonight. There was people in the live stream with me last night after that horrific Rockets game. So shout out to you guys. You guys have seen a lot of me this week. In 7 days, this is pod number 5 for me.
I'm on 4.
Just pouring them in, baby. We got to do what we got to do. Nick, no game today. So we get to kind of sit back, relax, and look at some Thunder stuff and some league-wide stuff, big picture-wise. I mean, there's games today. No Thunder games today. And we are about 25% through the NBA season. Figured this was a great time to reflect back a quarter of the way in, look back at some preseason stuff, kind of what we were expecting, some of our anticipations, our expectations, our predictions, and revisit those and see what we think, see where we were wrong, and notice some trends for the season. So
maybe two, see where we were right.
Oh, yes. I like that better.
Potentially.
First big question, Nick, just the Thunder in general, have they 25% of the way into the year, have they overachieved, underachieved, or met your expectations?
I'm going to say met.
Interesting. Because I would say they've overachieved for me.
If they were to keep this pace up for the entire year, I would say overachieved. I expected with a fully healthy roster before we get into the late months of the year, like this time of year, I expected them to be halfway decent because they were halfway decent last year when the full roster was intact. I think they've improved this year. So I would say they're about what I expected. If you ask me the same question in March and they've got the same win percentage, then absolutely overachieved. But at this point, I think I'm pretty neutral on that.
Interesting. I had them starting the year 2-8 in their first 10. They went 4-6, I believe.
You had 2-8?
Yeah, their first 10 was Minnesota, Denver, Minnesota, Clippers, Clippers, Dallas, Orlando, Denver, Milwaukee, Detroit. The only two wins preseason I saw there were Orlando and Detroit. Instead, they rattled off four wins, a four-win stretch there, actually. The two Clippers games, the Dallas game, and that that Magic game. Four wins straight in a row, and then they ended up losing that stupid Detroit game that they shouldn't have lost. They overachieved what I thought they would be in that first stretch, because that first stretch was very difficult. I would say since that 10, they've probably underachieved for me. Since then, lost to Milwaukee, beat Toronto, beat the Knicks, lost to the Celtics, beat the Wizards, and then lost to Memphis, lost to New York, lost to Denver, win against Chicago, lost against the Rockets. It's kind of where we're at right now. I would say that that second 10 game, how many games is that actually? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
yeah,
10,
yeah, we're 20 games in.
That second 11, they won 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they should have won more than that. So they've kind of underachieved for me since. But I think my expectations kind of shifted after those first 10.
If Oklahoma City beats Houston last night, whether it's by a point or by 20 points, and you have a different taste in your mouth, do you think your answer to the second 10 changes your opinion?
Probably a little bit. Yeah, that would put them at 9 and 11. Still think they should have beat the Knicks at home. That was one that I kind of have had chalked on as a win. If they beat the Rockets, I think I would say like, oh, they met expectations for that second stretch based off of where my expectations shifted to. So yeah, they've been kind of up, kind of down. Overall though, they are at 8-12. They are better than where I would thought they would be 20 games in.
Yeah.
I did not think they would be there 20 games in.
Have you looked ahead to the next 10 at all?
Next 10, well, the whole month of December,
yeah,
is a gauntlet. Yeah. Next 10 for our listeners, Pelicans, Spurs, Minnesota, Atlanta Hawks, Memphis Grizzlies, Cleveland Cavaliers, Dallas Mavericks, Miami Heat, Minnesota, and Memphis again.
And I think that includes a 5-game road trip, which is the longest of the season.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah, and at one start, that 5-game road trip is Minnesota, Atlanta, Memphis, Cleveland, Dallas.
Okay, I don't want you to go game by game, but I want you to just think of that. Think about that 10-game slate. Don't look at the schedule. Don't look at the schedule. You know who it is. Predict the record. I see you looking down.
I'm looking down. I'm looking at it. They'll go 3-7.
Ooh, which would put them at
11-19.
Oof. I think they won four.
Four?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. That road stretch is very difficult. So we'll see how they do. Pelicans tomorrow night. Looks like no Brandon Ingram, no CJ McCollum. That helps. Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to the Poku versus Ion matchup. That's going to be a blast.
Literal polar opposite bodies. Poku's got stretched and Zion's like smushed.
You can't get more opposite than those two.
No.
Like, you just can't do it. All right, Nick. So I asked you overachieve, underachieve, or met expectations for the Oklahoma City Thunder as a whole. Let's go through the roster. 15 guys. We can make this go kind of quick. I'm going to ask you, though, over, under, or met expectations on each of these guys. You let me know where they fall. Okay?
Okay.
First one, I'm just going in the order that I think Basketball Reference has them organized by points per game.
Okay.
So first one, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Over, and it's so far over that I didn't even fathom he'd be this good this year.
I don't know. I might catch some flack for this in the chat. If I do, that's okay. I don't know if when I envisioned Shai at the absolute peak of his powers, it was this. Yeah. Like 27-year-old Shai, 28-year-old Shai, who's like physically like in his prime, who has mastered his game, and his offseason isn't growing. It's just making tweaks and refining his skill. When he's at the top of his growth curve, I didn't know it was going to be this good. And he's still 3 to 4 years away from that.
That's the thing about podcasting is anything we say is on record forever. If you were to go back and listen to any pod we've done in the last, call it 2 years, I've been on record saying, like, I don't think he can be the number one guy, the alpha of a team, like the top scorer, the number one option. Like, the Thunder still have to find that guy. I've changed my mind. I think
lots of people had that thought.
And yeah, that was a reason that some people were anti-Chet. Like, Chet's a great player, and he's going to do, like, everything on both ends. Like, he's a great offensive player, great defensive player. He can be that perfect complementary, like, second or third option. But they're like, he's not the alpha that Oklahoma City needs. And I agree with that. I never said Oklahoma City shouldn't draft Chet for that reason. But I agree that, like, Chet probably also is not going to be an alpha number one guy. That'd be more Capello. But after seeing Shea this year, like, Chet is even more of a no-brainer pick to fit alongside Shea.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Hey, those of you who are in the chat and the live stream with us tonight, as we go through these, let us know if you think for each of these players, overachieved, underachieved, or met expectations 25% of the way through. Nick, next one. Lugans Dort. Overachieve, underachieve, or met expectations?
It's a really hard one because he's been so up and down. And it's hard to put a season that's been so lopsided into a bucket. I'm going to go under. Maybe unpopular. Not that he's been like a horrible player this year. He's probably been the same, if not a little bit worse than last year on the entire season as a whole. Whereas I thought he might be a guy that could score 19, 20 a game this year, especially with Chet out. I thought he may be a guy that just takes that next step, that this might be his last year to do this. Like, when Chet comes back and when Josh has another year under his belt and when this 23 lottery pick comes in, like, Lou may not ever again have the opportunity to take 16 to 20 shots a game. Like, this is the year to do it. I thought this might be the year he would do it, and he just hasn't.
Yeah. I would say under for me as well. Just a little underwhelming. He is playing around the same amount of minutes, but his three-point percentage has gone down 3%. His field goal percentage overall has remained the same. His two-point percentage is about average, or about the same as last year. He's dropped 4 points. The assists are up. The rebounds are up a little bit. Just doesn't look as comfortable out there. I think recently he started to find a groove, and so that's nice. So maybe this is a trend upwards. He started the season slow, and he's trending back up. But I would say so far under for Lou Dort. Next guy, let's go with Josh Giddey.
Met expectations, but not in the way that I expected. if that makes sense. Like, he's
okay. Explain.
He's looked better as a shooter. He's taken more shots. Like, last year, a big thing with him was, like, there was just times like he wouldn't shoot the ball, and you're like, dude, like, even when Shea was out, there was times where, like, you are the guy on the floor that should be taking shots, and he just wouldn't. He was just so passive. He was a pass first guy. And this season, he has taken the shots, which has been good to see. I haven't looked at his year-over-year stats, but
his three-point attempts are actually down.
Attempts, or what about percentage?
Attempts are down. Percentage is the exact same, 0.263 okay. versus 0.264.
What about overall field goal? It seems a little higher.
Overall field goal percent, he went from 42% to 46%.
Okay, so better. So, On the overall scoring front, I feel better about him, right?
I feel really good about him going to the basket this year.
Yeah. He's strong. He finishes well. Like, he's a guy that when he gets to the cup and he gets a smaller defender, like, I feel good about him getting there and getting a bucket. 3-point shot, still not there, but he's shown some promise there, and you've got Chip mm-hmm. England, and you have some optimism, right? So that all that's good. What I didn't expect was the regression as a facilitator and as a decision maker, whereas last year he was this rookie that played like a vet. If you just watched him play, you're like, this guy's been in the league for 10 years probably. Like, he makes these crazy passes, he's smart with the ball, didn't make a ton of rookie mistakes, and this year is like the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's overwhelmed.
turnovers have gone up by 0.3 from last year to this year.
Feels like a hell of a lot more.
It does. The comfortability doesn't feel there for him right now. Feels like he's a little uncomfortable. I would say met expectations so far. Maybe if the meter is like leaning, it's leaning towards like underachieved.
Yeah.
But I would put it at met for me so far.
Yeah, he hadn't been bad. It's just like he's gotten better in some spots, but a little bit worse in other spots. So it kind of balances out to the met expectations.
Also, I said that this list was in order by points. No, it's in order by minutes, which will put number four as Jalen Williams, J-Dub, out of Santa Clara.
Exceed. He has been really good. Similar to the way Josh, as a rookie, looked calm and poised, and no moment was too big for a guy that was a first-year-in-the league player. Same with J-Dub. Like, he goes out there. Every game shows us something different. He builds upon his performance from the previous game. He does it on both ends. He plays 1 through 4. Like, with the 12th pick, I don't know what else you want.
I think him being fourth on the list on minutes per game for this team tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, overachieved. Like, yeah. He's playing very, very well. Is he having rookie struggles? Yes. But for a rookie, I think he's been very good. I think he will continue to be very good for this team. I am very excited for him moving forward. I think he's going to be a really good player.
He's going to be freaking awesome. As of today, if you were to make a guess, you fast forward to the year 2026. The Thunder are the second seed in the West, and only one of Josh and J-Dub still exist on the roster.
Oh, that's so difficult.
Who is it and why?
I don't know. I'm going to say it's Josh.
Okay.
Because they packaged J-Dub to go get like a guy, like a dude, like an all-star.
I think I agree with you on the same merit, but I think if you're going to go get an all-star, another team would prefer Josh over J-Dub.
Interesting. All right, let's move on. Our next guy, Nick, has he overachieved, underachieved, or met expectations? Alexei Pokuševski.
There's a glass ceiling that I had put on Pokuševski. Not a low ceiling either. Like, I still thought he could be a really, really impactful role player in 3 years. And that ceiling that I put on him in 3 years, he's already shot through it. Like, in an elevator going way faster than it should, just blew the roof off this thing. He is so damn good this year.
9.7 points a game, 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, nearly 2 blocks a game, shooting 41% from 3 on 3.3 attempts per game. He's been good, man.
And the thing is with him, if you don't watch the Thunder, and most people don't, like, people listen to this pod definitely do, but like, the average NBA fan, if you look at Poku's numbers, you would probably say, like, that's solid. Like, he's a good role player for this team. He's a guy that does it statistically, but then when you watch the game, like, the impact is so blatantly visible that you don't truly appreciate the Poku experience until you've seen it. So if there's anybody out there listening to this pod right now that has not watched a Thunder basketball game this year, go watch one, not for SGA, but for Poku, because he's a baller.
He's so much fun, dude. All right, let's go on to the next one. Poku, definitely over for me. He's been incredible. Next one, maybe we trend a little bit in a different direction here. Trey Mann.
Definitely under. Although I don't fault him for it too much, because he did have the lower back injury, and he's been super consistent with minutes this year. Some of that is because he hasn't played great, and on this team with how much young talent there is, if you're not playing great, you're not getting minutes. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, it is tough to come back from an injury and get a bunch of minutes and be slotted right back into the lineup. But his body of work for 2022-2023, very underwhelmed. He's not had that that moment of like, wow, he is a microwave six-man scorer.
Yeah, here he is. We haven't had that yet.
No.
I'll go under as well. The three-point percentage is at 29 right now. Going 0 of 9 against the Houston Rockets does not help that very much. I'm going to pick and choose from here on out because that's six guys in. Those are like the big six. Let's go Kenrich Williams next.
I had a hard time pinning him when I was thinking about this exercise. And sorry if you're going to go to this guy next, but I think Aaron Wiggins is in a similar boat where I've not been underwhelmed by their play. I just haven't seen enough of it consistently. Like, you look at Kenrich's numbers and they're down this year. You look at his minutes per game and you probably have it pulled up. It doesn't seem like he's playing less minutes per se, but it seems like there's games flat out he's not playing. And the minutes in which he's playing aren't consistent enough for him to really get in a rhythm. Mm-hmm. There's been like one or two moments where it's like, I forget which game it was, but Kenrich had like 8 points in a 2 minute span. It's like, oh, that's Kenrich, right? Or he has some good defensive plays, but it's just he's not out there consistently enough to really gauge whether I'm up or down on him. Same with Wiggins. Like, they're just neutral. Like, I don't even know if I can say met. I just haven't seen enough consistently.
I think that's fair. Let's go. Two more. Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Overachieved.
Oh, interesting. I would go under.
I think the 3-point shooting has really impressed me.
40% on three a game.
Being an undersized center, you're going to get beat a lot. Like, he's a good defender relative to his size against centers, but he still gets eaten alive every night. And that's not his fault. Like, he's a 6'8", 6'9", combo forward being asked to play center because he's strong. But to combat that, if you can make threes at a high clip, that puts your team in a great position to win on the offensive end because that center that you're guarding has to come out and guard you on the perimeter, which opens up space. And that in turn allows SGA and other players to score the level they do at the rim.
Totally fair. I thought he would be a mainstay in the starting lineup, and he hasn't been. That's why I would go underachieving.
Do you think he's not earned the starting spot, or do you think that Mark hasn't committed to him because he's still exploring?
I just think he hasn't earned it. I think Poku offers you one thing, JRE offers you something completely different,
yeah.
And it really varies on what they need every night.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, though, J Rob last year shot 41.4% from the field. This year, 50.8%. 3-point percentage went from 35 to 40. 2-point percentage went from 47.8 to 60%.
Yeah.
So the efficiency has been much better. Last one, Nick, on our Thunder players. Did they meet expectations, go under expectations, or exceed? Darius Bazley, which I think is a really interesting case study.
Exceeded. The offense is not always there. He gets a lot of tunnel vision, and there's times where when he catches the ball and starts driving, like, you know, he's not passing. He's going to do some sort of euro or spin or flail into a defender and throw it up. Like, you know, it's coming. Like, he gets that tunnel vision and you just know for a fact he is driving and he is shooting the ball. He can be a ball stopper at times. Like, the laundry list of things that you would like to see him improve upon is long. But defensively, just that block rate, especially relative to fouls and the guys that he's blocking and defending that are usually a lot bigger and better than him. I mean, I didn't think he'd get better defensively from last year when he was really, really good, and he has. So he's also more recently knocked out a bunch of threes. So for what he is as a player on this team in the future, being a role player, if he's around long term, I think he's doing that.
Yeah, 21 blocks on the year for Bazley, only 20 fouls. I would put him at met expectations for me. The defense has still been solid. No complaints there. I think most of the time he does a good job defensively. Does he miss some assignments or some communication sometime? Yeah, but they all do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really going to knock him for that. Offensively, he's been what I've always expected him to be. Has he hit more threes recently? Yes. But in the same game, that Chicago game where he hit threes, he also airballed one. So like the consistency is not there at all. I keep saying this. I just feel like he's a guy that's not going to be on this team long term. So it is what it is. But I would put him at met expectations so far.
Can I ask you one real quick before we move on?
Yeah.
Eugene, maybe I was just astronomically low on him coming into this season.
Oh, he's definitely exceeded, but the sample size is so tiny that it's hard to make a judgment call.
Do you think, and it's really hard to say with how much talent's on this team, but my favorite saying, in a vacuum, in 3 years when this team's competing, do you see a guy like him being a valuable, like 15th man? Like most 15th man on a roster don't play. Like there's a reason they're 15th. But given his like weird, quirky, unique upside as like this super strong, undersized guy that can defend some of the stronger players, like do you think he has value on a team that is actually trying to win something and spot circumstances? Or do you still think he's a guy that he's here on a two-way and we'll never see him again?
He maybe has that value as a 15th man somewhere. I think with the amount of young guys OKC already has, plus assets in the future and these draft picks they're going to be making, they're going to have somebody that has a higher upside and is younger at that 15th spot versus him. So maybe for another team, yes. But for the way this team is building, I would say no.
When Gigi Jackson's in a Thunder uniform next year.
There you go. Gigi. Isn't it crazy? I was looking at this today. If you take Kenrich Williams and Mike Muscala off this team, Eugene Omorui, 25 years old, is the oldest player.
It's crazy.
And there's a bunch of kids out there.
It is literally. And with Mike being out right now and Kenrich not playing a ton, like it really is a bunch of kids.
It's wild. Okay. So speaking of Mike, speaking of Eugene, that kind of leads into this next question that I had for you, Nick. Maybe not a question as much as an observation. Big guys have become a problem for Oklahoma City. I think we kind of expected this coming into the season, especially with no Chet. But it's clear OKC has a problem guarding opposing bigs. Poku has been starting at center. You could argue that he's like too skinny, too small, doesn't rebound very good. You could put JRE in there. He plays a little more physical, but at 6'8", he's just limited, you know? Nothing against J-Rob. I think he's a fine guy and a good player. Just he's limited in what he can do. We obviously know like Chet is out for the whole season. I decided to go back in the Thunder's previous 10 games and look at who that team's quote-unquote big was and look at their performance. Now, caveat to this, Taylor and I talked about this a couple nights ago on a post-game podcast. I don't think you can just look at a big man's points, assists, rebounds and say, the big man dominated the game or big guys caused a problem for OKC. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on their stat sheet that plays a role. Like for the Thunder, they have been doubling bigs a lot in post-up situations, which have led to ball reversals and the Thunder having a one-on-two situation on the backside and scrambling and giving up open threes. That doesn't pop as a stat for that big man, but the way you're defending that big man is causing problems in other spots in your defense, right? So with that being said, I still went back and I looked at the past 10 games and how the primary big man performed against the Thunder. You ready for these?
Let's hear it. I'm kind of nervous.
So I'm going in reverse order. Okay. Against the Rockets, Şengün, 21 points, 7 assists, 19 rebounds. Vucevic in the Bulls, 13 points, 3 assists, 13 rebounds. Jokic gives everyone buckets, 39 points, 9 assists, 10 rebounds. Julius Randle, 25 points and assist, 11 rebounds. The next one is against the Memphis Grizzlies. Steven Adams only played like 12 minutes, so I went with Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 25.0 assists, 12 rebounds. Porzingis, 27, 4, and 9. Horford, 12, 4, 11. Julius Randle again, 25-3-10. Chris Boucher from the Toronto Raptors, 21-12. Brooke Lopez from the Bucks, 24-1-13. The Thunder have been losing the rebounding battle like crazy. Opposing bigs are just feasting on the offensive glass. It feels like the Thunder need a big man. We kind of knew this coming into the season with no Chet. But, Nick, my question for you, and I think we both have a list here. OKC isn't likely going to go out and trade for a starting level center. With Chet in the wings for next year, that just doesn't make sense. They also want to get Chet in and see what Chet does before they make a decision on bringing in another high profile piece, I would think at least. But what about a backup big man who could come in and offer you some relief this year at that center spot? And then next year could be Chet's backup for 10, 15 minutes a game, could maybe play next to Chet in the front court. I want to know some trade candidates. If the Thunder decided, you know what, we got something good going this year. We don't want to go invest a whole lot of money and a whole lot of assets. Yep. This isn't the trade Josh Giddey and three firsts type of trade to go get someone big. This isn't a Miles Turner type trade I'm talking. I'm talking a guy who we would see as a backup big and can maybe back up Chet next year, but could come in and offer you that size, that physicality, and that defense that they need, and that especially that rebounding that they need this year, who still kind of fits within the mold of what Oklahoma City is building. So we're looking for like a very specific type of player here, right? Yeah. I have a list of four guys. Do you have a list?
Yeah.
How many are on it?
Six.
Wow. Then I will let you go first. I want to see if any of our people on our list cross over. Question before you go.
Yep.
Did you take contract into consideration at all?
No.
Okay.
Because the guys we're talking about, nobody's on a huge deal.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Give me your first guy.
Okay. I'm going to start small. This guy does not put up great numbers, doesn't play a ton of minutes, but he's on a contending team. And we've seen many times, take Bol Bol, for example. Guys that just don't get minutes on a contending team go to a rebuilding team and they're great. Not to say this guy will be that, but Zeke Nnaji.
Oh, that's a fun one. I did not have him on my list.
Denver Nugget. He's 6'11". He's not the physical guy that you think about when you think about a center that could fix this team's issues. He's not a great rebounder really either. But he's big. He knocks down threes at a high clip. I just think he's longer and he's more athletic than some of the guys Thunder can throw out there right now outside of Poku. He's been really bad from three this year. He's 22%, but the two seasons prior on a larger sample size, over 40% from three. So I think he's a guy that if Denver says, hey, yeah, we'd like to get a little bit better. Here's a young guy that fits your timeline. Give us back somebody that helps us now. Even swap, maybe it works. I think he could be a guy that helps. Again, he's not the 7'1", 240 guy that you think about, but he's listed at 6'10", 6'11". Can stretch the floor. I don't know. I mean, he can also play power forward next to Chet next year when he's back.
That's an interesting one. He's under contract this year and next year. For a lowish money this year, it's 2.6. Next year is 4.3. That's an interesting one. That's not one I considered. What does a trade with Denver for Zeke look like?
I think with a lot of these, the answer is going to be Mike in a second or Kenrich straight up.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Kenrich would fit exactly what Denver does. So You had six. I had four. You just gave us one. You're down to five. Give us one more.
All right. Let's go bring him back, a former Thunder. He's currently on a team that was trying to win this year.
I know who this is because I thought about them too.
Is he on your list?
Not on my list. I thought about him.
Okay. Nerlens Noel.
Yep.
He, whenever Detroit this summer made the move to get him, and they also traded it separately for Bogdanovich, and they started loading up with some of these vets, and you think, okay, maybe Detroit's going to eclipse that 30-35 win mark. They've not. They're not on pace whatsoever. Maybe, and he's not played a lot either. Maybe they're willing to part ways with him for a second and a salary dump, right? Like, I don't know what it is, but I think we've seen him in Oklahoma City. We've seen what he can do defensively, and I think he'd be a great backup big if he can stay on the roster longer term and back up Chet even. Like, he would love to have him back in the system.
He, $10 million this year, a team option, $10 million next year, so you could just let him go.
Yep.
The team that he plays for, the Detroit Pistons, their GM is
buddy.
Great friends with Sam Presti. They've traded before. Makes a lot of sense.
Would you give up? I say hell no. Would you give up Bazley in a deal for Nerlens Noel? If you know you're not paying him,
I don't think so. I don't know. That would make sense. I've also wondered, was Troy Weaver, the GM of Detroit, was he like in the camp of draft Bazley? Because he was with OKC at that time. We definitely know he was part of the Hamidou Diallo, and that's why he that's why he traded for Hami. So that one's really interesting to me. I don't know if I would do Bazley straight up for him. I think
I agree with you, but back to the Hami trade, a guy that you know is going to be needing a new contract soon. And if you're dead set on, we're not giving it to him.
Yeah, but the Thunder also got a pick in that trade as well.
For sure. But if it was Bazley for, and it, money doesn't work, but Bazley for Noel in a second, same as Hami deal.
Yeah. I think you do it. Okay. So you've done two. We're both now at four.
You're up.
I'm going to start at the bottom of my list as well. A guy we've talked about on this podcast before, not making a lot of money on a rookie scale deal. I think is pretty well out of favor in his current home. Don't know if he fits the style that the Thunder want. Maybe you bring him in as a flyer. Don't know how it goes, but I've got Jackson Hayes from the New Orleans Pelicans.
He is on my list as well.
Is he really?
He is.
He has appeared in 8 games this season, not getting many minutes at all. In those 8 games that he's played in, he's averaging 8 minutes. last year, he played in 70 games, started 28. Not a three-point shooter. Not a super physical guy. He's 6'11", 220.
Freak athlete.
Yeah, crazy athlete. You want to talk about getting a lob threat? There's your lob threat. You know, can play some pick and roll with really anyone.
And he can play power forward.
Yeah, I don't know what a trade would look like here. But it's an interesting one. There's a reason this one's at the bottom of my list.
I think he could put up numbers for Oklahoma City.
I agree. I feel like they'd be empty calorie numbers.
Oh, I mean,
and I don't know how much defensively he would like help your team.
I think he's underrated as a defender. I really do.
Not a great rebounder, but also hasn't played like a ton of minutes in his career. So he's an interesting one. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. So Jackson Hayes off the board. Give us another one of yours. Or do you want, you went twice. So I'll go twice.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll go twice. Same team. I'm going back to New Orleans. It's Billy Hernan Gomez. Any thoughts? Before I dive into some stats?
I'm going to need some stats for you to convince me on this one.
28 years old, 6'11", 250. Doesn't really shoot the three ball either. Decent rebounder. This season, he's appeared in 7 games, so he's not playing much for New Orleans either. So maybe you can get him for a little bit cheaper. He is under contract for this season and then next season at a measly $2.5 million. Again, there's a reason he's at the bottom half of my list. Just a big body to bring in. Someone who can bang around a little bit, snag some rebounds, set some screens. Doesn't offer you as much offensive versatility as Jackson Hayes does with the lob threat, but interesting nonetheless.
I think he'd be take 2 steps back. None of these trades, I wouldn't say none. Many of these trades would not happen unless the Thunder were going to push for a play-in. Like if you're not, there's probably no point in giving up an asset for Hernan Gomez or Noel for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the younger guys that you could maybe re-sign, like a Jackson Hayes, it could be part of the future. Sure. Like regardless of which direction you go. I would entertain bringing him to Oklahoma City for a bag of chips if it came to it and they wanted to push for the play-in. Outside of that, I'm not super sold on that.
Okay, touche. So I've gone to, he is not on your list. So I'm down to two guys left. You have three guys left.
Correct.
Give me one of your guys.
I'll stay low. I mean, all these guys are like very marginal pieces. A younger guy relative to experience. He's almost 25 years old, so he's not super young, but Nick Richards. He's on the Charlotte Hornets. He is 7 feet tall, 245. So he's got that size, both height, and he's got some weight to him as well. Would 245 be the heaviest player in the Thunder? I don't know if you have the roster pulled up.
I'm pretty sure it would be.
He doesn't shoot threes. Like when I say doesn't shoot, he hadn't shot a three since his rookie year, which was 3 years ago. This year he's averaging 10 points and 7 rebounds a game while shooting 60% from the floor. Last year he shot 67% from the floor. Like all of his shots are putbacks and dunks and lobs and those kinds of things. Hadn't started many games in his career. He's kind of a perennial backup kind of guy, but if that's somebody that gets you through the season so you don't get torched on the boards and by guys that are opposing centers, maybe you get him for cheap and bring him in and he turns into something. I don't know. But with the Hornets bringing in like Mark Williams, some of these other guys, I think you get him for almost nothing.
Interesting. Didn't really think of that at all. Really haven't ever thought of Nick Richards until you said his name about 30 seconds ago. So,
yeah. Second round pick. I mean, he's not a nobody.
Yeah. I have two left on my board, Nick. Both of them are, one of them is a little bit bigger of a name. That's who I'm going to go with next.
Yes, and please.
I'm going to save my favorite one for last. Already been mentioned over here in the chat, a guy that is out of the rotation, making a little bit more money. So that might be a bit of a problem because you're taking on long-term money. Also a little bit older at 29 years old. But Rashawn Holmes, is he on your list?
No.
What was the awe for then?
Dude, ever since he's gotten paid, he's just like fallen off. And I'm not saying that he's a guy that got his bag and he's just not trying anymore. But like you look at his numbers pre-contract and post-contract, he went from like this 27-year-old late bloomer that can help the Kings win, starting big, to like barely plays, doesn't start any games, and his production minutes are like plummeted.
Yep. Last season he only played in 45 games. This season he's only appeared in 10, started 0. He's averaging 11 minutes in those 10 games.
Yeah.
But when you look at like last season where he played 23 minutes, or the season before that where he played 29
the
minutes.
Before that was pre-contract.
The 2020-2021 year. Yeah. So let's go back to last year, bigger sample size. In 24 minutes, 10.7 rebounds, an assist and a block a game. Shot 66.4% from inside the arc. Didn't really shoot twos much at all. Or I'm sorry, didn't shoot threes much at all. He's a high energy rim rolling big man that I think could back up Chet whenever the time came. The problem is, you mentioned, he got a payday. He is owed 12 million or 11.2 million this year, 12 million next year. And then in 2024, 2025, he's got a player option for 12.8. Very hard number for the Thunder to match right now.
Yeah, that almost makes me feel like it's such a negative contract that the Kings would have to be like attaching an asset to get off of him or getting pennies on the dollar in return. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought this one was interesting. I think the fit is interesting. I think the age plus the contract probably makes it unrealistic.
Yeah. No, I mean, if Oklahoma City was, I don't know how many games we'll be in at the trade deadline. Let's say they're 20 and 20 and you're like, man, this team is too far out to even continue tanking. Like it's either push for the play-in or middle out and get the 11th pick. Then that's a guy I'm like, yeah, I'll just go for it.
Okay. You have two left. I have one left. Give us your next one.
Let's go.
You better not steal my number one, you son of a gun.
There's no way. He's a New York Knick.
Okay.
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Oh, I love Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't think the Knicks are giving him up when they sign him free agency.
I don't either.
But that's a fun one.
But I think when they signed him, you know, there's him, and then there's Mitchell Robinson. And I think they were trying to figure like who's going to be the starter of these two guys. Like Mitchell is younger and like this up and coming athletic shot blocker that doesn't really have offense, whereas Hartenstein's this guy that can shoot threes and he's a bigger body and more physical. Like who wins a starting spot? And to this point, like no one really knows. Like Hartenstein started 7 of the 19 games. You see Mitchell Robinson other times. It's just this weird mix of like who's the five in New York? We don't know. But he's been okay. Like he's never been a double digit scoring guy. He's a much improved rebounder this year. He's averaging basically 7.7 rebounds. Not shooting well from beyond the arc, only 23%. He was 46% last year. So curious to see like, was last year a fluke or is this year, is he just down? But if New York were to want to change directions or acquire somebody to help them win, like maybe they think Kenrich over Isaiah or Muscai, who knows, like just hypothetically, I think he could be a guy that could be interesting for a short-term stopgap.
I like it. I would love Isaiah Hartenstein.
250 pounds. We keep talking about this team doesn't have size either direction, like 7 foot, 250. That's a guy you plop right in the middle and he fixes a lot of things.
All right. You want to give us your number one or you want me to go?
I'll go.
Okay.
This guy's also not on your list. I'm almost positive. He is undersized.
So he's okay. Not my guy then.
Okay. Like Taco Fall. No, this guy is 6'10". 235.
Okay, not my guy.
24 years old.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued.
He averages 5.2 points a game, 3.6 rebounds per game, and is not a three-point shooter. So you're like, oh, why would you want this guy? He's also not started the game this year. But he is somebody that plays much bigger than he is. Similar to Holmes, I think he like kind of brings that energy and physicality to a team that you can't really measure in the stat sheet.
Is it never mind. You say it's 24.
Daniel Gafford.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. I wanted to put him on the list.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the Wizards to know if they would be willing to give him up. He would be awesome. Shot blocking machine.
Yeah. And he's like a center by nature, but could easily play power forward alongside Chet.
That's an interesting one. If the Wizards would give him up, I would be very into that. He's played in 19 games this year, started 13 minutes per game in those 19.
I think a lot of what he does, you physically can't measure his impact.
Yeah. He's an interesting one for sure. I would be very in on that. I'd be very in on that.
Good. I'm glad I saved him for last.
All right.
You better blow me away now.
I don't think I'm going to blow you away, but whenever I decided that we were going to do this centers thing tonight, I made that decision like 5 hours ago at the gym, and I was thinking, and I landed on this guy, and the more I thought about it, the more I was like, this makes a lot of sense.
Oh, God.
I kind of like it. So this guy, height-wise, little undersized. He's only 6'9". But he's an absolute unit, Nick. Thick boy, 260. He is wide. For his career, he shoots 34% from three on three attempts a game. Sorry, 2.4 attempts a game. Let's not inflate the stats too much here. In his best season offensively, he shot 52% from the floor, 35% from three on 2.5 attempts a game. Maybe my two favorite things about him right now is that he's only on the hook for $1.9 million this year. He is in a contract year. You could extend him if you wanted to. I also think he might be gettable. He's appeared in 13 games this season, started in zero, and that is because his team already has two premier centers on the team. You still don't know who it is?
I mean, 260 pounds. There ain't many of those guys in the league.
And his team has two premier centers that start.
Oh. So the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes.
It can't be Naz Reid.
It's Naz Reid, no. Who is 23 years old.
Okay, that must be an old database. Naz Reid lost like 40 pounds over the summer.
He's oh, did he really?
Hell no, yeah.
Basketball Reference has him as 6'9", 264.
Fine. I read something this summer. He's down to 237.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Still, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Contract year. You could extend him for not a whole lot as your backup center next year, which is what he's played his entire career, is backup center. Very willing to shoot threes. Shoots 2.5 a game on average. Isn't the biggest rebounding guy, but he also has never played more than 20 minutes a game in his entire career on average. I mean, he's just a big body you can throw out there, and he can, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that plays big. He plays big.
I'm fully in. I like taking swings on guys that are former, like, big-time recruits, especially guys like him that he went to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
He was a top 15 recruit in the country. He was okay at LSU. He went to the draft after 1 year, didn't get drafted. So I think he's a guy that's still untapped because he only played one college year, hasn't played a ton in Minnesota. He's gotten good minutes in Minnesota, but he hadn't played a huge role. I don't know if we've seen what Naz Reid could be in a real rotation.
Yeah. And is he going to get much of an opportunity this year in Minnesota behind Gobert and Cat? No. Like, and they are a team that may be primed to make a move because they have vastly underachieved.
Yeah.
They're an interesting one. He's an interesting one.
I
would be in on that. I don't know what the trade would be.
So if you could trade any of the 10 players, trade for any of the 10 players we just talked about for X, like the return trade is the same for any player, right? Who is most intriguing of the 10?
Our two top ones, Gafford and Naz Reid.
I think I still go Jackson Hayes.
Interesting. Interesting.
I just think he, like, the freak athletic.
He brings a level of athleticism that they don't have, for sure.
100%.
All right. This was fun. I like this. Let's hit around the association. Before we do that, though, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
What's up, Thunder fans? This is Jacob from the Uncontested Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that we have fully redesigned our merch store to get you the best Thunder swag available. Just visit cottonbureau.com and search the Uncontested Podcast to find all of our new designs. That's cottonbureau.com and search the Uncontested Podcast to find new drops like Josh Giddey's Wizard of Oz or an ode to the Trey Mann Step Back. We've also got all the classics like Dortal Combat, Lu Tang Clan, and everyone's favorite MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The best part? You can get any design and the style of apparel you want. So if you're gearing up for the summer and want a tank top, needing a hoodie for the winter in Australia, or you're wanting a Pokemon onesie for your baby, we've got you covered. Make sure to go to cottonbureau.com and search the Uncontested Podcast to get your new Thunder gear today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
All right, Nick, continuing this theme of overachieving, underachieving, and expectations a quarter of the way into the season, let's bring that to league-wide. I want to revisit some tanking assumptions. We have, what is this, 7 teams that we thought would really be in the tank race this year. And I'm going to list off a team. I want you to drop them in one of these three buckets. Bucket number one is a lock for the top three odds. Bucket number two is they're on the fence. And bucket number three is they're going to need an injury or a trade or a really strong, we're sending everyone to tank move in order to get down low enough to get the odds they want. Let's Got it?
Yep.
So three buckets. Your first team, the Detroit Pistons.
Although to this point, they're one of the bottom three teams, I still think they're on the fence. Like they've, and Cade's hurt right now, which just makes it even weirder to say. They've got the talent to be a potential play-in team. They may already be too far removed. And they may say, you know what, Cade's out for a month. We're gonna blow it up. But I still think Detroit is the second or third best team on this list.
Interesting. That's a take. I'm leaning towards lock for the top three odds. They're just bad. And with no Cade, I think they'll continue to be bad. Next team on the list, the team that just waxed the Thunder, the Houston Rockets.
I'm going to create a new bucket, lock for the worst team in the league.
Fair. They beat Oklahoma City's ass. Like, there's no like skirting around it. We've talked about this before, Nick. That's an AAU team. Like, yeah. As far as structure and culture and style of play, it's an AAU team.
They have so much talent. Like, they have a lot of fun guys that can drop.
Oh, Jalen Green is insane.
Yeah, so much fun.
But is there any sort of, like, rational offense being played? No, it's I want to ISO and jab step and go between the legs five times and then pull up a three. And when he's hot, he's freaking hot.
Yeah.
But they turn the ball over more than anyone in the league. There's no structure. It's almost like an all-star game.
Yeah. And it's fun when it's fun, but God, it's bad when it's bad.
Agreed. Next team on the list, the Orlando Magic.
Also a lock for the top three.
I think I would agree. They've been bad. They have a lot of good pieces.
Yes.
If there is one team that I really like the direction of their rebuild and what the pieces that they have, I like Orlando more than Houston or Detroit.
Yeah, I don't think this has been talked about a lot, at least maybe just on our podcast or the circle that we're in, but if they got Wemby, holy cow.
That'd be ridiculous.
They'd be really good.
Ridiculous. Next team, the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm allowed
currently on an 8-game losing streak.
I'm allowed to say this because I've only put two teams in this bucket. Lock for top three. They're the third of the three.
They gonna trade Pirtle?
It doesn't matter. They still suck.
Yeah. I think they should trade Pirtle. He would not be on my list of Thunder Bigs.
Hell no.
I'm going to put him on the fence.
Ooh.
Next is the Charlotte Hornets.
They are a fence team for me.
Even with Gordon Hayward out?
Yeah. I mean, even when they're fully healthy for like that minute, like for a while, it was like LaMelo was out, and LaMelo came back. Now Gordon's out. Even when they're healthy for like that little bitty stretch, weren't very impressive.
No faith in Theo Maledon.
Yeah. He's had some good games, though.
Next, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
They're also on the fence. I wouldn't say they're so good they need an injury to tank, because we've seen them lose a lot of games this year, like especially against Houston. Like, they're not that bad every night, but they have the ability to be really bad. There's nights SGA is the only player that looks competent. There's nights they look really, really good too. And as such, middle ground means on the fence.
I think that's fair. I would probably put them on the fence as well, leaning towards needs an injury or needs like blatantly tanking.
Yeah, they're the top end of that bucket.
Because if they play their guys for the whole year, I think the Thunder are ending with the 8th, 9th, 10th best lottery odds.
I would say 6, 7, 8. But yeah. Okay. Which would be on the fence, mm-hmm, by definition.
The Indiana Pacers.
I'm going to put them in the need injury or trade. Miles
They've been
Turner,
good, man.
Miles Turner has been freaking awesome. Buddy Hield, he gets a lot of flack, but that dude, like every single year, there's like stats that come out. You see on like stat muse and stuff where it's like most made threes by anybody in the league, Buddy Hield. And it's like, mm-hmm, if he was on a team that got attention, he would be viewed so differently. Like they have.
Ben Mathurin has been killing it.
Ben Mathurin's been awesome. Halliburton is awesome.
Jalen Smith has been good.
Like they need to trade Miles Turner and or Buddy Hield for me to even say they're on the fence.
Hey, speaking of the Indiana Pacers and circling back to centers, Goga Batadze?
No.
Okay. Easy enough. Last one, the Utah Jazz.
Same. They have lost a lot recently. I think they're 2-6 in their last 8 or something like that.
Started hot.
Even then, when you win that many games early, like the 12 wins they have now, teams like Houston, Orlando, Detroit won't have 12 wins until February. So at some point, you've created this gap that's so large that the time it would take Houston to win 10 games to get to that 14th win, Utah will have won 6 games. It's just like it's never gonna overlap, and I don't think they have a chance to fall in the bottom 3. So I'm gonna put them in the need injury or tank, because even the on the fence teams, they've got 3, 4, 5 games on, and these teams are so bad that it's hard to cover that kind of ground.
Completely agree. Same theme, but removing the tank teams. As far as expectations are concerned, who is a team that you had high preseason that's just disappointed you so far?
I'll go with the Warriors. Like, they've gotten a lot better, but man, they started so bad.
Yeah, 11-10 now. I think they won their second road game of the year today. 2-9 on the road.
It's uncharacteristically bad for the veterans they have on the roster.
Totally agree. Golden State was going to be my team. Another team that's really underachieved that I probably had a little bit higher would be the Miami Heat. 10-11. They just haven't been that great.
One that I was right on, that a lot of people, if we had all 6 of us in the pod, Simone would have said this. Dallas, they're now under 500. A lot of people thought they were like, Christian Wood's in town. Even if he can't play defense, he's a great secondary piece, and they're going to be a 6-7 seed. And I was like, I just don't see it. And yeah, I still don't see it.
One of my categories was the team you hit the nail on the head. Sounds like yours is Dallas.
Yeah.
Mine, I mean, I want to say the Cavs, but everyone thought the Cavs were going to be really good. So it's really hard to say the Cavs. I thought New Orleans was going to be really good. I mean, when you look at the standings, New Orleans is 4th.
That's really good.
Well, yeah, but they're 2 games out of first. And they're 1.5 games out of 10.
Everybody's like this right now.
Yeah. The West is just, it's a train wreck right there in the middle. Everyone's just so close. What about a team that you slept on in the preseason that is killing it? Can't say the Utah Jazz.
Let's go. Man, that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of teams are not killing it that I slept on.
Sacramento's better than I thought they would be.
For now.
Atlanta's been, I mean, they're 11-9. It's like, it's not great.
I can't sleep on Atlanta.
I know
you can't. While it's high on Atlanta. I'll go with the Clippers only because 12-9 with Kawhi missing as much as he had is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. MPG's been out as well.
Yeah.
That's a fair one. I don't know. Portland, if we did this podcast like 5 days ago, I would have said Portland because they were like number two in the West.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it is in the Western Conference. You lose a game, you go from first to seventh. So awesome. Nick, any other thoughts, big ideas, opinions, revelations that you need to get off your chest before we get out of here?
Not Thunder or NBA related, but go USA.
Hey, they play Iran tomorrow at what, like 1 p.m.?
If they win, I think it's, gosh, I've got it in my calendar. I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's, isn't it Tuesday, though, not Monday?
Oh, yes, that's right, Tuesday.
Tuesday, 1 p.m. If they win, they're in, which would be awesome to be in that final group of 16. Go USA.
Hope they win. I'm going to have that game pulled up on the laptop at work.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on it. Should be a fun one. Well, we will be back with you guys in about 24 hours. JD has the post game against the New Orleans Pelicans Monday night. And then on Wednesday, Justin is with you guys for the San Antonio Spurs game. Wrapping up with Taylor on Saturday as the Thunder take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is that the start of that long road trip? I think it is. So Taylor will be with you guys on Saturday. And then we're back here next Sunday, 9 p.m. as always. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm sure you guys are getting tired of hearing my voice four times this week. So we'll get you a little bit of new blood in here with Silva tomorrow. Enjoy it. Hopefully the Thunder come away with a win. Or if you're on team Be Icky for Vicky, maybe they lose. I'm just looking forward to the Poku versus Zion matchup. We'll be back with you guys soon. Until then, have a great start to your week. And as always, Thunder up.